hour two of the Blitz starts right now. Charlie Collier, Josh Stackhouse. I got another hour on the show here on this game day Thursday. As we got some interesting college football stuff going on right now. Because why not? You know, it's May, obviously, with the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs and the PGA Championship and pretty much everything else exciting that's actually in season happening. College football is still just going to dominate the headlines somehow. This time it was Nick Saban that was bored on a Wednesday and got everyone riled up saying that Texas A&M bought its top-ranked signing class. And he said, I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team. Made a deal for name, image, likeness. We didn't buy one player, all right? But I do know we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it. But I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it. It's tough. Saban then said that Alabama players made $3 million doing it the right way last year, and that only 25 players were able to leverage NIL opportunities. Not the first guy to call out Jimbo. Lane took some shots at him, too. You know, Lane back in February said Texas A&M was going to incur a luxury tax in how much they paid for their signing class. Jimbo clapped back at that. Saban, you know, he didn't stop there either. He said coaches know how much money is available from their school's collective, and how much that he can promise every player. He said this is not what it's supposed to be, but that's what it's become. And the problem in college athletics right now, now every player is saying, well, what am I going to get? He blames the NCAA, but he said, in the defense of the NCAA, we're where we are now because of litigation. He didn't just call out Jimbo, though. He also said, hell, read about it in the paper. I mean, Jackson State paid a guy $1 million last year, and that was a really good Division I football player to come to the school. It was in the paper, and they bragged about it. Nobody did anything about it. I mean, these guys in Miami, they're going to play basketball there for $400,000. It's in the newspaper. The guys tell you he's doing it.
He's starting to sound like a little baby. He's complaining.
He's fired up. And
he's name-dropping everybody.
Obviously, they're talking about Travis Hunter, the five-star number one player that signed with Jackson State, and Deion Sanders. Sanders replied.
Yeah, he woke up pissed.
You best believe I will address the lie, Coach Saban told tomorrow. I was awakened by my son that sent me the article saying that we paid Travis Hunter Jr. $1 million to play at Jacksonville State or Jackson State. We as a people don't have to pay our people to come play with our people.
College football just got so much fun, man. I mean,
Saban also said, you know, I told the recruits the same thing. Our job is not to buy you to come to school here. And I don't know how you manage your locker room. I don't know if it's a sustainable model. He said that, you know, you can go earn however much you want, but we're not going to pay you to come here. Jimbo is currently talking to the media.
He's
press conference started within the last 10 minutes. How many people were tuned in? It was like 10,000.
It's over 10,000, I think. Right,
over 10,000 people tuned in to see angry Jimbo Fisher clap back, which, first of all,
it says,
you know, I know you can't admit it, I guess.
16,000
inclined. 16,000 now.
Total, you know, viewers.
I guess you can't admit this. You know, you can't admit it.
Man, he's out here name dropping people.
These coaches are like vehemently denying it, too. Like, just be like, yeah, we did. Money cannon.
But he's saying they're cheating, and they're not, technically.
I think they are.
Well, I'm just saying, technically, they're not.
I think.
And until somebody comes and stops what's going on, I mean, that doesn't matter. Nick, he's acting like he's never done a bad thing in his life in college football. That's the problem. What he's saying is not wrong in my eyes. I think there needs to be an adjustment of how you recruit with the money. I do agree with that. But, I mean, dude, you're out here acting like you have never done a negative or suspect thing in college recruiting in your entire career. And you're name-dropping other coaches. Like, that's okay. Like, he's at a certain stature now. He's out here just speaking on everything and everything. And I don't know, man. It's a bad look to be out here knowing the whole world knows the NCAA lets you slide in so much because of the powerhouse you've created. But you can't sit there and just, like, I mean, you can't call out Deion. You can't call out all these people just because they are now threatening your powerhouse, your dynasty. I think that's the biggest thing about it. I think he's losing control of what he thought he had control of. That he thought he had masters. I don't know. I don't think he's wrong to complain about or like ask for change in the way it's done. But to go out and call out other schools and stuff just because you ain't beating them at the game right now, it's just, I think it's just very childish.
You know, first of all, we do have some early Jimbo Fisher quotes.
He's pissed, man.
It's despicable, said Jimbo. We're taking shots at 17-year-old kids. We never bought anyone. When Saban doesn't get his way or when things don't go his way, go dig into Saban's past. It's despicable. It's personal to us. And I know the guy really well. Jimbo said that Nick Saban called him. Said, I didn't take the call. We're done. He's the greatest ever. When you have all the advantages, it's easy.
I mean, honestly, he's not wrong. Jimbo was down there taking advantage of everything in FSU. And it was easy.
Jimbo is losing it right now.
Yeah, no, he is.
Jimbo
is pissed
off.
I'm excited for the Deion Sanders one. Because Deion Sanders is going to be showtime, baby.
He's full on getting country on their ass now, Jimbo is. I know we said we're doing an opening drive. We're canceling the opening drive because we're just talking about this for the first segment now. You can just turn the music off.
I got you. I forgot.
There's still three
more
downs, and it's already 11:14. Because, I mean, this is just a story worth talking about. Jimbo
it's
also
beautiful.
Said, you can call me anything you want to, but you ain't calling me a cheat. I don't cheat, and I don't lie. I think you do both of those things. I think you do both of those things, Jimbo. I think Saban does too.
He said the government needs to step in. This is about wanting unified NIL rules. He said the government needs to step in. What's funny is in that talk right before he said those things about us, wasn't he soliciting funds? Dude. Oh, God, I'm so excited. And now I'm telling you, Deion Sanders is going to show on and he's going to go off too. You might see somebody in Miami show off now too. College football is becoming this is beautiful. This is what sports needed right here. We needed everyone to turn against Nick Saban or something crazy.
In all of this, I'll be honest, I'm Team Saban.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't like a grown man complaining this much.
Jimbo also said, when you walk on water, I guess it don't matter. He's losing his... I mean, he said, what's funny is in that talk, right before he said that about us, wasn't he soliciting? I mean, just everything is good. Everything is good for this. October 8th, when these two teams play, is going to be the most entertaining football game ever. I mean, Jimbo is sweating up there.
He's ready to oust every person in college football right now on this stage. I'm sitting here trying to.
I feel like he's like close to just snapping, and like just snitching, like blowing up college football. He just said we build him up to be this czar of football. Go dig into his past. He keeps talking about his past. Like,
well, dude, come. I mean, the whole world knows it. He's just speaking on things that Nick Saban's out here trying to ignore.
So let me explain myself, though. So when I say I'm Team Saban in this, I don't mean that Saban has some kind of moral high ground. That Saban is above everyone else and all these other guys are cheaters. That is not what I mean by saying that I'm Team Saban here. Nick Saban is a cheater. Nick Saban is a scummy guy, presumably, or at least has done or partaken in scummy things in the underbelly of college football. He's been doing it for a long time, and I think there is part of him that is maybe a little upset that the playing field is evened out a little bit. You know, that because whether, you know, whether he admits it or not, Alabama's been dropping bags on players for, you know, a long, long time, and they've been recruiting at a high level for a long time.
Trent Richardson's mom was moved to Alabama. Come on, man.
But I am Team Saban in the sense, you know, that he's right. I mean, he is 100% spot on about NIL. This isn't NIL, and that's the biggest issue, is name, image, and likeness has its a legal definition. You have to be compensated based on some sort of, you know, service related to your name, image, and likeness. And that there has to be a proven value. You know, there has to be value to that name and image and likeness. We're using it as a recruiting tool in the portal, using it to recruit high school kids. That's not NIL. That is just illegally paying players.
See, that's the one thing I do agree with.
That's why I mean
Nick,
that I am Team Saban, because this whole thing is ridiculous. Now,
yeah. Hey,
if we're going to let, you know, if it's going to be the wild, wild west, then so be it, I guess. You know, if we're not changing it, if you can't beat them, then join it. Join them. Like, I enjoy that aspect of things. I enjoy that Tennessee, you know, is
taking full advantage.
Yeah, taking full advantage of this and has its, you know, basically the opportunity is right there in front of Tennessee to buy themselves back up to the top tier of college football once again. That's what's happening. So I'm not upset about that. I love that. I mean, I love what Tennessee's doing with NIL, and if you're going to be allowed to do it, absolutely, go do it. But NIL's broken.
Yes.
NIL should not be a recruiting tool.
No one's saying it's not.
And Nick Saban is right. You know, Nick Saban is right there.
But that's my point, is that he's – no, Jimbo's not –
You know, what these coaches are doing is ridiculous, and he's raising plenty of points, you know,
But he's calling them cheaters. He's not saying that they're doing it wrong. He's just calling them cheaters.
They are.
They're not cheating,
though. That is cheating.
Tennessee's not cheating.
I fully believe that what Tennessee is doing, what A&M is doing, what Miami is doing, what everyone else is doing is cheating. But every single person is doing it, and there is nobody there to stop you. But I fully believe that what we are doing and what everyone else is doing is cheating, because it does not fall under the legal definition of name, image, and likeness.
So you're happy – You're saying you're happy with what Tennessee's doing, even though you're saying it's cheating.
Yeah.
If everyone what Nick Saban's is asking cheat, for if is every, that people are getting sanctions for this, that there's going to be
no,
bad
I want the
to come from this.
I don't want sanctions to happen necessarily.
That's what he's wanting.
Well, no, I don't think you can't impose sanctions because every single school is doing it.
Except for him, and he's crying about it. That's my problem. I like what he's saying.
But he's right, though.
He is right.
What they're doing...
He's right that that's how NIL should be.
What he is saying they're doing, I'm not saying that they're actually doing it, because I think they're using NIL as a recruiting tool too. But,
exactly.
You know, maybe they're not.
That's
maybe
lying.
They are actually just having kids earn the money.
I
the
think
way
that's
that
how it should be.
Should
done.
Be. And if that's what they're doing, then Nick Saban, for the first time in his life, is doing it the right way.
Yeah.
Get your kids on campus. Get them in the best possible opportunity to actually attach value to their name, image, and likeness.
And then
they can make
there,
money.
Yes.
But
I agree.
What value, you know, does a four-star receiver really have as a 17-year-old to say, you're worth $1 million?
When they created that star system, that's what happened.
I mean,
system and made a five-star and then go around and do 11, and what Nico's doing right now, and touring. That's where you get name, image, and likeness from before
step
on campus.
That's what frustrates me is I just think NIL is spiraling out of control. It is a...
But does he not think that the NCAA already knows this?
No, I mean, they do, but the NCAA is helpless because Congress, or, you know, not Congress, the Supreme Court screwed everything up. But right now, I mean, the NIL is just going off the rails, and it's slowly going to tank college sports. Coaches are getting out of the game because they don't want to keep dealing with this.
Yeah.
you know, the poor, there aren't contracts. So basically you just have contractless free agency every offseason with all the incoming recruits, all the players in the portal. You can just throw your name in the portal, get your money, and throw it back out. There's nothing actually, yeah. There's no obligations for any of these players.
Well, now you can't stockpile players
to stay
at Alabama.
In one place or anything else. Like, NIL is incredibly broken, and it's not being, you know, used the way it's intended to. Well, NIL was a terrible, terrible thing in the current sense that it's being used. But, again, I go back to this.
Well, he's losing.
If it's gonna be the wild, wild west, if it's going to be something that everyone is allowed to do, that everyone is getting away with, again, thank the Lord that the Vols got the money cannon,
yeah,
and that the Vols are leading the way, and that we're buying our way back. Do not mistake my opposition to NIL in its current state as opposition to what Tennessee is doing, because again. I'm saying I want it to be stopped for everyone,
I don't
but if it's not stopped for everyone, I love that Tennessee is doing it, and I love that Tennessee is succeeding, and they should.
You
keep
can't
doing
say
it.
Your team save, and you got to say your team change for the NIL and just not.
I guess so.
Support.
I guess
saving.
So. I think that he's one of. It's weird to me that he's become one of the only logical voices in college football.
What he's saying is not wrong. At all. That's what. That's how NIL should be. In my mind.
I feel like we're college sports are rapidly deteriorating, and I'm scared that we're gonna ruin something great.
Well, I think what he said in his little.
We are currently ruining something great.
He said you're gonna end up having to pay players, and that's gonna ruin college football. And that's what I don't want. I don't want it to become a salary based thing, and that's why.
That's what's happening.
Yeah, and I get. That's what I'm saying. Nothing he said is wrong, except for the fact that he's calling out other grown men like that.
Yeah,
I
don't know how much he was really
crybabiness, and it sounds like he's just.
I think he was also just. I don't know. I think it was also misconstrued a little bit. I don't think he was being necessarily.
I think
it's
like 50-50.
Like, I don't know if he was. It was partially, like, partially, I guess, being a little bit of a crybaby, like, partially calling him out. But then I think also he was just partially using those three major examples to back up his argument. You know, because those are out in the open. We know what A&M's been doing. We know that Nigel Pack got $400,000 from Life Wallet on a 2-year deal to play at Miami. You know, we know or we don't know about Travis Hunter. That was a rumor spread around. But, you know, the other two guys, like, we know. We've seen. It's out in the open. So to pretend it's not out in the open, it also seems ridiculous to me. I agree with.
I think it's funny. Probably
75% of what.
I don't know, man. Jimbo's really, really upset. And yeah. I don't know. I haven't seen.
Again, I agree with like what pretty much like 75% of what Saban said. You know, I don't think he has the moral high ground.
I'm about
to say
50-50 on it.
Because he's also a scummy cheater, but what he's saying isn't incorrect in my opinion. But we got one more from Jimbo. Here's a fun one. I don't cheat. I don't lie. If you did, my old man slapped me across the face. Maybe someone sort of slapped him, referring to Nick Saban.
I mean, I don't know, man. I don't like another grown man going out there and speaking on another man's name. I just found that, and I mean, that's what we do, but it's so disrespectful to call him a cheater.
And again,
it's like calling somebody a liar.
Do not misconstrue. There are people out there misconstruing what I'm saying right now. I am not saying that Nick Saban is in the right or that he is doing things or has done things the right way.
No,
is not also a cheater, has not always had a history of cheating. You know, I do think that part of this comes from a place of frustration that now teams have caught up to what he's been able to do this entire time. What I'm saying is that I agree with his commentary on NIL.
Yes, 100%, and I'm 100% behind you.
So
I agree as well.
So don't get it twisted out there, okay? I got people tweeting me. You know, never forget that Nick Saban, you know,
we know
came into Texas last year and spoke at the high school football, you know, coaches association and bragged about Bryce Young making $1 million in NIL deals before he even started a game.
I thought that was funny that he said team made $3 million and, you know, one player made $1 million of that, though. So,
but, you know,
I don't know. The way it's now is almost everybody's getting money, right? And the way he's wanting to do it is only your top five, top ten players on each side of the ball are going to get – your starters are getting NIL deals. No one else is going to be able to profit off this.
We're just ruining college. We're ruining college sports.
I know.
We're ruining college sports, and it makes me sad.
But just sit there and think that it's not going to get fixed. It's going to get fixed. It's too big of a money business to not be fixed.
I hope it corrects itself, but it feels like we're just going to get feels like college sports are just going to eventually become minor league sports, and who gives a rat's ass about minor league sports?
That's true.
So
that is true. I hope it doesn't turn into a minor league sport. That's why I hope the XFL and stuff like that helps kind of keep that separation between professional and college almost, you know?
Whatever happens, though, again, when these two teams meet, my goodness, it is going to be a blast. October 8th, Alabama, A&M. I have a feeling Nick Saban is going to take out some anger in that game. I'm going to give me Alabama minus whatever.
Really?
Give me Alabama by like 20, by 21 plus in that game.
It'd be so embarrassing.
Nick is going to put it on the table and slap it, you know, slap Jimbo around it. He said, you think my, you know, my daddy should slap me?
He called Saban a narcissist.
So, yeah. That being said, though, we're going to catch a quick break. Be back on the other side. Stay with us on the Blitz.
Anything for fun? Worry about those comments. I'm way too numb, yeah. It's way too dumb, yeah. I get those goosebumps every time. I need the Heimlich. Throw that to the side, yeah. I get those goosebumps every time.
Back here on the Blitz, man. College football, just always on one. Always on one. Again, I got Bama to just absolutely roll A&M. I hope we can get a fight.
I don't know, man. I mean, I think you'll get a nice on-field scrum, but I don't know, man. I think he's pissed off Jimbo in a way that Jimbo might come out with a vengeance, man. I hate. I don't like either of them. Really.
I also can't wait for Feinbaum today. I don't think Feinbaum is actually that good of a show.
I can't wait for the tweets on
like,
Feinbaum.
I'm not a Feinbaum guy. Like, you know, props to him. He went to Tennessee. He's had a great career. You know, fun, fine, cool. Like, I'm not a guy that ever really watches Feinbaum, but every once in a while, you get a day like today, where I'm gonna be tuning in.
I just love the tweets.
Just to hear Betty from Alabama lose her mind. Just to hear,
I'm telling you, man.
Just to hear Rick from Texas lose his mind.
You know, you're at work and you have all these like TVs and they're only on sports channels and you always got it on Paul, and so you only can read the words that are just like being tweeted at him and stuff. And those are my favorite moments in the world.
Oh, Austin Burlidge, the Power T tape guy, he just tweeted out, "I will have tears in my eyes listening to Feinbaum today when a South Carolina fan calls in completely unaware of any of the press conference that just happened and asks for 10 wins for the Gamecocks is on the table."
I do love the people that call into his show. They make life worth living.
Yeah, today's going to be one of those days.
What time does this show start?
I
don't even know.
I guess I'll have to Google it.
I'm so excited. That's such a good point. I probably wouldn't even thought of that, but I can't wait to tune in now. That's only something I watch at work, and I'm just that's beautiful. Oh, man. I'm telling you, I really want to know now when Deion starts his, and I can't wait till somebody comes at Kirby. Hey, what are you backing? I don't know, dude. I hope this just stirs everybody up. I want to see everyone's take. I want to hear everyone's opinion. I want to see who's backing who, and I want a college war.
We had a 14-team boxing tournament, SEC head coaches. Who's your final four?
Oh, man. I need a list of all the coaches.
Here, I got you. You have, in the West, Nick Saban, obviously. You have Jimbo Fisher. You have Mike Leach, Lane Kiffin, Sam Pittman, Brian Harsin, and Brian Kelly. What two are coming out of the West?
I'm gonna be honest, because I'm thinking it's probably gonna be Lane, or
I think Lane's not a fighter. I don't think Lane would. would come out. Mike really? Leach definitely can't fight.
No, yeah, that, no I, he was my no first one. He'd probably just fight. Sit it out.
Brian Kelly would trip falling into the ring and knock himself out. From there, you know, I think the clearer answer, number one, is Jimbo. I think Jimbo could whoop some ass.
Yeah, I just feel like Lane do something sneaky, you know?
Maybe.
Have little brass knuckles under his gloves or something, you know?
I don't know. I put it between Nick, Lane, and Sam Pittman. I feel like Nick's maybe too old, but I think I'm going to go Sam Pittman. Sam Pittman just has it in him. I mean, I would be maybe worried about his endurance.
I think I'm going to go with
but
what
that man, I feel like that man has seen some things and has done
Jimbo.
Sam Pittman strikes me as the kind of guy that'll twist your balls in a pile.
Dude, okay. You know what?
So give me Sam Pittman and give me Jimbo. From the East, you got Kirby Smart, Mark Stoops, Josh Heupel, Eli Drinkowitz, and then Frank B. Why do I always call him his daddy's name? Shane Beamer, Billy Napier, and Clark Lee. Kirby, don't think he's
no. He's fighter. Knocked out first couple seconds. That's exactly
Mark
what
Stoops.
I
think is a dweeb. I would beat Mark Stoops up with my left hand, with an open fist. Back. I would if I could box
so aggressive.
Mark Stoops and win so. Strictly using. Nothing but backhands and nothing but my offense.
We'll see, Mark.
And he can have two boxing gloves throwing punches, and I will only backhand him with the left, and I would win. Mark Stoops.
Mark and
is
Kirby
a,
would knock each other out just a, on a slap
Mark
fight.
Stoops is a good old triple B. You know, a little baby back, fill in the blank.
Yeah, they take each other out, and then Eli Drinkowitz would just.
Eli
you know,
Drinkowitz, I
he'd
said.
Watch
that,
from a distance.
I said that Brian Kelly's tripping and knocking himself out trying to get into the ring.
Yeah.
Eli Drinkowitz.
Didn't make it to the ring.
Yeah. He's not even making it that far. I mean. The nerdiest guy in SEC football history, potentially. So
I'm between
Josh
Billy
Heupel,
and
I'll be honest. I don't think the hype man's.
No, I don't. I don't
got
see
it in him.
He doesn't look like a fighter,
yeah,
man.
He's
such
a lover.
A nice
he's
guy.
A lover.
He's
a
family
hugger. Guy. That's what I want from him.
He's
you know?
Probably trying to calm the violence in the center of the ring. Guys, we don't even need to do this.
So I think you got Shane Beamer,
man.
A young fit guy. I think.
Yeah.
He
what's
throw
your final
punches.
Four?
I
that's
think
what
you got
do.
Clark Lee. Clark Lee from
that's,
Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
that is low-key a guy.
I was going to say, yeah, fight. Clark Lee or my boy.
He looks, he's built like a wrestler. He looks like he's got some cauliflower ear.
Billy versus Clark and then Jimbo and Pittman going in the final four. Who's coming out on top?
I got Sam Pittman over Jimbo in what would be one of the best fights in the world.
That would be a beautiful fight. He just seems like such an Arkansas guy that he could get rough and rowdy. He probably just hunts feral hogs anyway. Now, if Ogeron was still at LSU, would he just take the cake immediately?
I don't know.
This wouldn't be a
him and Sam Pittman.
That'd be a beautiful
be
fight.
Incredible.
That'd be a
and
damn.
Then give me Sam Pittman. Give me him against Clark Lee, and give me Sam Pittman as your SEC fighting champion. Especially, you know, actually that depends. It's like Hot Rod, Taco versus.
I can't even tell you. Don't even talk to me about names. I'm not a name guy. You're talking about
Hot Rod.
Hot Rod's my favorite movie, too.
I love Hot Rod.
Taco versus grilled cheese.
Yeah.
Grilled cheese.
Who do you think would want to fight between a taco and grilled cheese? Well, if it's, you know, depends on
who's
if it's,
the taco
if
in
it's
this
clean
situation.
Or not.
I'm thinking grilled cheese is probably Pittman. And
I'm thinking the
Clark Lee is a taco.
If it's a fair fight, you know, touch gloves, we got a referee. I'll take Clark Lee. But if we're talking street rules, give me Sam Pittman to dominate the
he's
SEC.
He's been there the whole time. He's been through it.
So Sam Pittman, that's my SEC fighting champion. Am I wrong? Am I right? I don't know. You guys tell me. Phone lines are open. 865-546-8200. G3 Help Me Hotlines. Who do you think the best fighter is in the SEC? Am I an idiot for defending Nick Saban? I would love to hear your thoughts. Come get mad at me if you want. I'll take it. Again, G3 Help Me Hotlines are open, 865-546-8200. Going to catch a break here. Back on the other side, we'll take a look at the PGA Championship leaderboard.
Oh, yeah. Check in on our guys.
Back here on the Blitz. Man, time to transition and take a look at the PGA Championship leaderboard. Starting off today, this morning. I know we have our draft. We got to check in on how some of those guys are doing, but a little leaderboard update. Right now, leading the way, Rory McIlroy.
Wow.
Rory McIlroy, 4 under right now through 8 holes. Behind him, tied for second. We got a couple guys at 3 under. Max Homa and Will Zalatoris, also 3 under through 8. Justin Rose, 3 under through 7. And Davis Riley, don't know who that is, honestly. He's 3 under through 6. John Daly, my favorite story of the day, is playing in the PGA Championship. And he's 2 under.
Tied for third.
Yeah. 5'11", 200 and a lot of pounds. Has not played in forever, I feel like. First event of the year that he's played in. Again, he's been a pro since 1987. Is just casually sitting there, tied for six.
Just cruising.
Tiger Woods got off to a hot start. He birdied 2 of the first 6 holes to get the 2 under. He then bogeyed hole 5. Or excuse me, 1, 2, 3.
Didn't he switch
five.
Up his clubs or something?
He bogeyed hole 6 after being 2 under through 5. He's currently sitting at 1 under through 8 holes. Outside of that, Jordan Spieth is 1 over. Hideki Matsuyama, 1 over. And Cameron Smith, 2 over. One of the best golfers in the world. I don't see Tony Finau anywhere. That's
yeah, he's even.
Oh, I just okay, cool.
I just see
yeah,
his
Tony
name.
Finau even. Tony Finau
was he right above?
Got all, started with a bogey and then birdied hole 4 and has been even par now through 9. Some of our guys still have not teed off yet.
I'm trying to remember everybody that did. I know I got
you. Have Ju Young Kim, Russell Knox,
that's who it was.
Kevin
Russell
Na,
Knox. I couldn't remember that.
Siwoo Kim, Tommy Fleetwood, Hideki Matsuyama, and Cameron Smith.
Kevin, oh boy. That's who I was. I couldn't remember who I picked in that second draft, that second round.
Cameron Smith is 2 under.
Yes, sir.
Or, I mean, 2 over, excuse me. Hideki is 1 over. Tommy has not teed off yet. Siwoo is 2 under.
Yeah.
So right now, you're net plus 1.
Yeah. You're
net 1 over. Kevin Na.
What a start.
Is 1 under. So now you're net even. Russell Knox has not teed off yet. And Ju Young Kim has not teed off yet. So far, with everything you have going, actually, you dropped the lowest score. So really, you're a couple under par. For me, Harry Higgs has not teed off yet. Dahman has not teed off yet. Fowler, not teed off yet.
Wow.
Webb Simpson, not teed off yet. Answer, 2 under. Finau even, and Morikawa has not teed off yet. So most of my team is just playing in the afternoon. Hopefully the conditions benefit that. So that's where we're at right now, PGA Tour-wise, PGA Championship-wise. Again, loser.
I have high hopes. I'm excited. I think I'm going to take you down just off chance. Just off of chance. Pure chance. And I can't wait. I'm a celebratory person.
My friends all thought that you're going to win.
Really? God, that's so sick. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, I'm not that knowledgeable on golf. I know enough about names and, you know, some things. But if this happens, this will boost my confidence skyrocketing. I don't know. I'm not a sore loser, but I'm an excited winner. I like victory laps, like actual laps. I might take a trip around the building.
Well, we'll see. We'll see who wins. We'll have a winner Monday, and we'll spin the punishment wheel.
If my highest pick is already two over, though, I'm not feeling too
confident. Yeah, your tier one guy, your tier one guy is two over.
He is having a terrible morning. I drove into hearing him just doing terrible.
Man, we didn't even get a chance yet to talk about the NBA playoffs either, because Nick Saban just went and hijacked the day. But last night, not a very good performance from the Mavs. Which,
yeah, it wasn't really.
It just is what it is. It happened. That's how they start it happened in last series too. It's going to be a long series. The same went for the Celtics in Game One. It's hard to win Game One on the road, but Golden State really just overwhelmed Dallas last night, 112-87. It was never super close. It was
they
a 10-point game.
Man.
It was a 9-point game at halftime, a 10-point game at the end of the first quarter, a 19-point game by the time the four started. Warriors just, again, we're too much. Luka, 6 of 18, wasn't great. Didn't get a lot from, Powell or Dorian Finney-Smith. You got a good 17 from Spencer Dinwiddie and 14 from Brunson Ant-Arable, but just not enough from the supporting cast. Meanwhile, Golden State just 56% from the field. Jordan Poole had 19, Steph had 21, Klay had 15, Wiggins had 19. Like, Draymond gave you 10, Looney gave you 10. They were tough to guard last night.
It was game one of getting used to the pressure.
Yeah, these teams will both kind of feel each other out, figure each other out, and I imagine you'll see this series, still be a long series. I still feel like the Mavs are winning that series.
Yeah.
Then tonight you got Heat Celtics. Looks like Al Horford's still going to be out. Marcus Smart, day-to-day. Sam Hauser, Derek White out. Kyle Lowry out for the Heat tonight still. But the Heat, 3.5-point favorites. Still biggest thing for me tonight, the X factor for the Heat, Bam Adebayo. I need him to be more assertive, more aggressive, and open things up for the rest of the offense. But we'll get into those games tomorrow and get into the weekend. And with that being said, we're going to catch another break here. Wrap things up like we always do on the other side to ask if you haven't heard. Stay with us right here on the Blitz.
Start no trouble with me. Trying to keep it peaceful is a struggle for me. Don't pull up at 6 a.m. to cuddle with me. You know how I like it when you loving on me. I don't want to die for them to miss me. Yes, I see the things that they wishing on me. Hope I got some brothers that outlive me.
God, I'm laughing. John Daly playing is so funny. God's plan. I don't know how I missed it. Like, it just flew under the radar for me that John Daly was playing, but
how old is he?
I don't know.
Wasn't he in Augusta as well? I swear he got one of the hole-in-ones during that little pre-walk thing, I swear he was one of them. But I might be wrong.
Will Brinson, a guy that covers golf, he's got a funny little thread on John Daly. He said, quick John Daly story while he's still under par. He said, back when I was working at Fan House, I covered the 2008 Wyndham Championship and got to follow around Daly the whole time. He said, after round one, Daly set up shop at the Greensboro Hooters where he was doing that Daly thing. And signed autographs. He said there was a line in the Greensboro Hooters. It was iconic. And he said the best part of the week was following Daly around for a practice round Tuesday or Wednesday. He said he decided to track what the athletic specimen Daly himself was putting into his body as he prepared to compete in a high-level professional golf tournament. Followed him for 18 holes. Hawking his every move and taking meticulous notes about every time he reached for his golf bag, took a bite or a sip or a puff. First few holes of themselves were eye-opening, and by the back nine, I realized I was essentially watching someone pitch the perfect game. The final tally of literally everything he put into his body over a full 18 holes, 21 cigarettes, 12 Diet Cokes, 6 packs of peanut M&Ms, and 0.0 ounces of water.
That's a real man.
That is unbelievable. Because Greensboro, mid-August?
That's a grown man.
I lived in pretty much Greensboro for a summer, and I've been to Wyndham too. That's damn hot. But
dude, that's a grown man, and everyone knows that the peanut M&Ms are the best.
I hope he's still hitting those levels. I hope his performance hasn't dipped. Hey, by the way, if you're listening on the website, I want to let you know the live stream powered by Linderman Sports Medicine in Memphis. Visit LindermanSportsMedicine.com to find out why people are coming from all over Tennessee and beyond to get back in the game of life with Linderman Sports Medicine. If you're not active right now because of discomfort, pain, anything limiting your activities, then check out the amazing work being done by Dr. Laura Linderman at Linderman Sports Medicine. Located in Memphis, people are coming from all over Tennessee and beyond to get back in the game of life without surgery. Whether you want to get back on your bike, back to the gym, or, hey, just walk around the park, have a healthier lifestyle. All of that and more, LendermanSportsMedicine.com, LENDERMON, SportsMedicine.com. A couple minutes left here, Stackhouse. I know you got a good if you haven't heard from me today. You hyped it up during the break.
I did. I'm excited to talk about it. So last night I was laying in bed, man, and apparently in China, there is a giant sinkhole. And inside this massive, I mean like massive, they said it's like the hole itself, like the opening, is like 2,000 Olympic swimming pools. Wow, I really undersold it this morning to the boys. So
one more time.
There's a giant sinkhole that cave explorers in China found. And inside this giant sinkhole is an underground rainforest. It's just, they didn't know it was there. They just found it this week.
I'm sorry.
What? It says, a newly discovered 630-foot deep sinkhole lies a hidden forest lush with shoulder-high flora and tall trees. They said there might be new species of animals and plants within this sinkhole. They said it's made up of three caves and measures.
And you're not getting duped. Like you.
No, this is on USA Today. I saw it on like Twitter from some weird little kid. Not little kid, but you know, just like a kid my age. And I was like, no way. So I like did a deep dive and I made sure. And it's on USA Today. It's on a couple other things. And it says that it measures 5 million square meters, the equivalent of 2,000 Olympic swimming pools. The sinkhole was discovered in the Guangyi Zhang Autonomous Region near Ping's village in the country of Lei. So, yeah, dude, it's insane. It's like a, and so there's like, there are trees down there that are nearly 130 feet tall. Like, I mean, that's bigger than most, like, of your, like, oak trees and stuff here. Like, I mean, 130 feet tall, dense shade plate. It's insane. I was in bed last night at, like, 3 a.m. reading this stuff. It blew my mind. I couldn't believe it. It's Loki, a large... It blows your mind, right? An underground rainforest?
I'm
and no one knew it was there? I mean, like, so they still kind of... There's been a few, like, just... Tribes have been discovered in dense rainforests that have never been discovered.
Fascinating thing I think I've ever been told in my entire life.
It says you rappel 100 meters down, about 330 feet, and walk several hours to reach its bottom. The sinkhole measures about 1,000 feet in length.
I'm going to read everything that's ever been written about this.
Dude, and look at the pictures of inside.
I'm also kind of scared.
Look in the pictures of inside.
I feel like we're...
It looks like the land of the lost.
Some, like, ancient ghouls into the world or something. I don't know.
Right?
But, hey, we're out of time. I need to know more about that later. But today, Thursday, May 19th, it's National Devil's Food Cake Day and National Mayray Day. Don't even know what that is. But, Mayray just celebrates the bright sunshine. Like usual. Cool. Awesome. It is sunny, I guess. So, happy Mayray Day. That's it for me and Stackhouse. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Talk sports next day with us. Fan Run.